Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3. Yamaraj instructs his messengers, text number 14 to 15. Both are on the board. So. Aham Mahendra Nivriti Pracheta. Samognira Isha Pavano Virinchi. Aditya Vishve Vasavota Sadhya Marugana Rudragana Samsidi. Anyetaye Vishva Srijo Maresha Brigvadayos Prishta Rajastamaska. Yeye hitam chavidu sprishtamaya. Yes, ye hitam navidu sprishtamaya. Sattva pradana api kim tatonye. Just going to read the translation of the purport because most of the word for word are just names. I, Yamaraj, Indra, the king of heaven, Nivriti, Varuna, Chandra, the moon god, Agni, Lord Shiva, Pavana, Lord Brahma, Surya, the sun god, Vishvasu, the eight Vasus, the Sadyas, the Maruts, the Rudras, the Siddhas, and the Marichi, and the other great rishis engaged in maintaining the departmental affairs of the universe, as well as the best of the demigods headed by Brihaspati, and the great sages headed by Bhrigu, are all certainly freed from the influence of the two base material modes of nature, namely passion and ignorance. Nevertheless, although we are in the mode of goodness, we cannot understand the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then is to be said of others or under illusion, merely speculate. What then is to be said of others who under illusion merely speculate to know God? Purport. The men and other living entities within this cosmic manifestation are controlled by the three modes of nature. For the living entities controlled by the base qualities of nature, passion, ignorance, there is no possibility of understanding God. Even those who are in the mode of goodness, like the many demigods and great rishis described in these verses, cannot understand the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, one who is situated in the devotional service of the Lord is transcendental to all these material qualities. Therefore, the Lord personally says that no one can understand him but the bhaktas, who are transcendental to all material qualities. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. As stated by Bhishma Dev to Maharaj Yudhisthira in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.16, Nayasya karichid rajan puman veda viditsitam Yadviji gyasyaya yukta muyanti kavayopiti pihi. O King, no one can know the plan of this Lord, Sri Krishna, even though great philosophers inquire extensively. They are bewildered. No one, therefore, can understand God by speculative knowledge. Indeed, by speculation, one will be bewildered, muyanti. This is also confirmed by the Lord himself in the Bhagavad Gita, 7.3. Manushyanam sahasreshu kasya dyadati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kasyamam veti tatvataha. Among many thousand among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and even among the siddhas, those who have really become perfect, only one who adopts the process of bhakti, devotional service, can understand Krishna. The aim of the Krishna consciousness movement is to become conscious of Krishna. becoming conscious of Krishna is not just theoretical, but we're supposed to actually meet Krishna face to face and talk to him, eventually go back to the spiritual world, maybe dance with him or play with him, etc. Now, generally speaking, Krishna consciousness may appear theoretical or impractical, depending upon what mode of material nature that we're situated in. When we're situated in the modes of ignorance, then Krishna consciousness appears rather impractical. Engage ourselves in activities. Getting up early in the morning seems impossible. Following four principles seems rather difficult. Everything seems rather impractical. And in the mode of passion, everything seems rather theoretical. Krishna is God, and he's sitting, lying down in an ocean of either milk or water, or any, from his navel is coming a lotus flower, and Brahma with four heads is sitting on that lotus flower, creating all the planets, and we're on one of them. So, it may be true, it may not be true. We have no idea, but it's all very theoretical. And the mode of goodness, we have some knowledge. Yes, it seems very logical, the whole thing fits together, but we still don't know Krishna. In other words, whether we're aware of it or not, Krishna is known in the ecstasy of devotional service. Not only just devotional service, because we may imagine that we're performing devotional service already, so we sometimes take it that we already know Krishna as much as we're going to. And it's rather shocking to find out that we're aspiring to become devotees and we're practicing so that one day we can come to the platform of pure devotional service. And therefore the Bhagavad Gita gives us an extensive knowledge of what we have to get free from to actually come to the platform of pure devotional service, what we shouldn't do, and what we have to do in order to actually realize Krishna. In the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there's an extensive description of working without fruit results, working without speculation, being free from the modes of nature, working in the mode of goodness, sitting down and meditating without any material attachments. And then what is the result? Brahma, Bhuta, Prasanatma, Nishoshiti, Nikangshiti, Samaksarveshu, Bhuteshu, Madbhaktim, Lavate, Param. If we follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, then we'll no longer hanker or lament. That these things will not bother us at all, even if some thought of hankering or lamentation comes to the mind, we won't identify ourselves with these thoughts. And we'll stop seeing everyone as different, in the sense that whether one is riding in a Rolls Royce or in a Volkswagen, we know that actually what counts is the person inside the car, not the car. The person doesn't become the car. They're simply riding in the car. So it is not that a self-realized soul sees everyone as the same. Every body is exactly the same. The tiger body, the human body, the plant body, they're all the same. And therefore he offers obeisances to the devotees, to the plants, to the tigers, to everyone. No, one understands that within the tiger body, within the plant body, within the human body, there is a soul, but due to the activities of the previous activities of the soul, they've been given a plant body or a tiger body or a human body. And therefore, although one recognizes that there's the same quality of soul is there in every body, but one has a different reciprocation or treatment to different types of living entities. So that's called unity and diversity. One can see the unity, but appreciates and acts according to the diversity also. So without seeing, without getting free from hankering and lamentation, we're hankering for what we don't have to gratify our senses, and we're lamenting because in the past we got what we wanted and it didn't satisfy us, or we got what we didn't want and it made us even more unhappy. So generally everyone is hankering and lamenting in the material world, taking that as perfectly normal. And on that basis, we're seeing everyone different. If someone is giving me something, they're my friend. If someone is trying to take something away from me, they're my enemy. And if my enemy, someone is trying to take something away from my enemy, then they become my friend. So these things change all the time, because today someone's trying to give me something, tomorrow they're trying to take something away. And it could be as subtle as my prestige. When Bhrigu Muni didn't pay obeisances to Brahma, Brahma became angry. You rascal, you're taking away my prestige, I'm the head of the universe, and you're not offering me respect. I think I'm going to destroy you, even though you're my son. Similarly, Shiva became agitated because Bhrigu Muni criticized him, had dared to use words against him. And Lord Vishnu is totally transcendental. He didn't mind how Bhrigu Muni was acting. He just saw him as his eternal servant and reciprocated accordingly. Now, before we can come to the mode of transcendental goodness, first we have to also act in goodness. But we're not just trying to act in goodness. We're trying to act as devotees. Because without getting into the, without taking shelter of the spiritual energy, and we take shelter of the spiritual energy by Hare Krishna, concentrating our attention and giving our love to Krishna. So by mental speculation, our consciousness goes everywhere. Just like in Harinam, we can see sometimes we're actually chanting and listening. And sometimes we're looking at the people and the dogs and whatever else are going by. Hearing the dogs bark and looking at the people and thinking, well, that's a nice house. I wonder what it would be like if I lived there. So that's called mental speculation. Or this is a nice person. He bought a book and this person's going, Yamaraj has already taken his address. He's going to probably pay a personal visit to him eventually. This person won't invite me to their home, but Yamaraj will invite them to his home. And as far as hankering, giving one's love to Krishna, to fully give ourselves, for instance, even to the Harinam party, to just completely focus in on simply chanting and hearing with complete rapt attention and seeing everything from the point of view of Bhagavad Gita is not so easy. But it's the practice that we have to do, because as much as we take our minds away from the distractions, the misconceptions, or the mental concoctions that we come up with, and actually try to chant happily, at least, lovingly, maybe far away, but at least happily, if we're worried about how long is this Harinam going to last for, the sun's too hot, looks like there's a few clouds, it might rain, these people, there are no people out in the street, only the dogs are barking, it's the only reciprocation we're getting. So if we're too much into this mental speculation, then there's no question of focusing our attention and giving our love to Krishna. But that's all we have to do. But that's what the opportunity for chanting is. Now, if we can't do it when we're chanting the holy name, what to speak of deity worship? which is the other powerful process in this age, because the deities may be watching our service, may be reciprocating, but if we're not Krishna conscious, then we may sometimes forget who we're actually dealing with. Prabhupada was saying, Galagraha. Galagraha means, Gala means Galagraha, actually. Graha means the deity, and Galagra means a pain. So a pain in the neck. Prabhupada was in one temple, and he was looking at the garlands, and they were not very nice. So he said that, even in my presence, you're neglecting the deity worship. It's not so nice. He said, you're thinking my rascal guru, he gave me these statues to worship. So now it's expensive, it's difficult. They become a galagraha instead of a vigraha. They become a pain in the neck. So my rascal spiritual master is not here anymore. So let me offer them some garbage flowers. And they don't seem to protest. They still have the same smile on their face when we offer them nice flowers. So Prabhupada said they may not protest immediately, but their protest is that you're going to go to hell. So that will be their protest. But the idea is that unless we're advanced in Krishna consciousness, we may not experience the reciprocation of the deity so easily as we might have the opportunity to experience the reciprocation of Krishna when we're chanting the holy name. Because in one sense, we try to chant attentively and at least happily, joyfully, then we can actually experience something about what it's like to associate with Krishna. Similarly, the Bhagavatam is none different from Krishna, but we may not have the opportunity to actually see through the eyes of the Bhagavatam. As I said, the Bhagavatam is revealed only according to how much knowledge we have how to hear the Bhagavatam. And even if we hear the Bhagavatam or the Bhagavatam speaker, still to put it into some kind of perspective in my life, what it actually means to me. Fortunately, now is the time for Padyatra, so there's something we're doing, actively doing, which forces us to pay some attention. Hopefully forces us to pay some attention. And actually act a little enthusiastically, just like we see sometimes the devotees dance, especially when someone appears out of nowhere, then we wave our hands and dance. And yesterday, one man even put up his cane in reciprocation. So that's encouraging, someone is actually here. So that reciprocation, that actually something's going on, something's happening. Sometimes we may not see that in the Bhagavatam class. We look around and it's definitely making people peaceful. But we may not see the same degree of reciprocation. Unless someone tells a joke and everyone laughs and think, wow, it's working, the Bhagavatam class. But that's not the ultimate attainment in the Bhagavatam classes, that everyone laughs. And same way as serving the devotees. That's probably one of the more difficult ways to actually get Krishna's reciprocation, because in a neophyte stage, we don't believe there are devotees except for myself. Everyone else is more or less a pretender, or trying to pretend. And maybe we see one or two devotees or a group of devotees as somewhere beyond my imagination, but luckily they're never here with us, so we don't have to worry too much about them. But in the daily lives, to actually believe that these devotees are actually the representatives of Krishna, they're actually acting under the spiritual energy, under yoga maya, and that my relation with Krishna is at this moment dependent upon how serving these devotees that are right before me. Not that I have to wait for another 3-4 months before a real devotee comes and I can serve them. So that keeps us blind. We don't see Krishna right before us, but we're waiting for Krishna to somehow or another miraculously come. He's already there. He's already present in the form of his devotees, in the form of the deities, in the form of the holy name, and in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the form of the holy places, such as the temples, or even when we go and chant Hare Krishna, that place becomes a spiritual place, because the whole Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they're there, and that's what makes it spiritual. So unless we can appreciate these five powerful processes and actually try to focus our attention and serve them to the best of our capacity, then it's very difficult to understand Krishna, or it's not possible to understand Krishna. We're certainly not going to go through some kind of varna and ashram system. We're certainly not Ashtanga yoga. We can hardly even sit in one place for more than 15 minutes without falling asleep or getting agitated. And as far as karma yoga goes, we don't know, our only duty is that we recognize is that we're supposed to eat prasadam every day. That's clear, our duty. The other things are right, quite fuzzy. And as far as jnana yoga, we're already speculating enough and coming to no conclusion after all our speculation. She loves me, she loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not. And finally you find out, oh, she doesn't love me. Maybe she loves me and she loves me not. So we're already speculating enough without any real conclusion. So the only thing there is to somehow or another engage ourselves in the Sankirtan movement, especially in these five powerful processes, and actually try to pay attention and do it enthusiastically. That way, we'll gradually understand Krishna. And at the same time, we should act in the mode of goodness. Before we take prasadam, we should wash our hands, not check and see if they're clean or not, or that bathroom is so far away. I've already sat down. Oh, what the heck. Look around. No one else washed their hands. I don't want to be unusual. Oh, we should wash our hands before and even after. Don't save whatever remnants you have on your hands for later. We should wash our mouth. And in India, at least, they wash their feet and hands. And try to be clean. Before we take rest, sometimes we take rest, then we shouldn't take rest in the same clothes we're going to wear to the temple. So that's called the mode of goodness. Not that I'm pure and therefore anything that comes in contact with me is pure. It doesn't matter what I do, it's always pure because I'm pure. And whatever, the deity's just happy I'm here. They don't care how I am. They don't like the way I dress, then get another servant. I quit. Now we should try to act as much as we can in the mode of goodness, and that will give us a better opportunity to focus our attention on our services that we're doing and to do it enthusiastically. When we're acting in the modes of passion and ignorance, then, or we're associating with the passion and ignorance, then our minds become agitated. And instead of remembering Krishna, remember the modes of ignorance, whatever we were doing in the modes of ignorance and passion. That will rise up and distract us. So the more we act in goodness, then the less we'll become distracted by the modes of ignorance and passion. And if we act transcendentally, of course, we perform these devotional activities, then there's every possibility of actually remembering Krishna and his associates and their forms, their qualities, and eventually their activities, and then we'll become ecstatic. We'll feel their presence, and this will result in ecstasy, transcendental pleasure. And then our consciousness will become purified, and then what we understood theoretically before will be seen as reality. Gradually. It doesn't come all at once that suddenly we've understood everything, but we'll understand a little bit at a time, and then it's like a snowball. When the snowball is going down the hill, at first it's very small, but as it goes down the hill, it picks up snow, and therefore it goes more rapidly, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So a first transcendental realization, and our enthusiasm is not overwhelming, but gradually it increases, and then everything becomes clear and encouraging, and then we know that we're making substantial progress, and every day becomes another opportunity to practically get a little bit closer to Krishna every day. And then when we see there's Krishna in the distance, then we'll run to him, and then everything goes very quickly. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaja. What is difference between goodness and transcendental goodness? Can we experience in a level of anatta nirviti for a moment that we do service in transcendental goodness, maybe, or?
Transcendental goodness?
Yeah, you speak about the goodness and transcendental goodness for a moment.
Well, goodness is the absence of ignorance and passion. But it's mundane, it's material. It's like there's a difference between knowing what you're not and knowing who you are. So in goodness, we find out who we're not. In transcendental goodness, we find out who we are. Now, it's much more important to find out who we are, but it's also important to find out who we're not. So in goodness, we find out we're not this body, we're a spiritual soul, and in transcendental goodness, we find out what our relation with Krishna is. So we're acting on the transcendental platform that we're Krishna's eternal servant, which is the beginning Dasya Rasa. We're performing service as a servant of Krishna and his representatives. So we're acting as Krishna's servant, and that will help us realize that we're not this body. That's called goodness. So by acting transcendentally, goodness is included. But there are activities in transcendence also which are similar to goodness. Just like in the spiritual world, for instance, you know, in Vaikuntha or in Dwarka, there are, Krishna thinks himself to be a kshatriya, and his consorts think themselves to be queens. So there's something that's similar to what seems to be going on in the material world, but it's all in relationship to Krishna. And therefore, even Krishna performs duties in the spiritual world in relationship to his kingdom, so they can also do that in this world, but they do it as service to Krishna rather than simply mundane reasons. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. I have a question regarding modes. Sometimes it's difficult to see in which mode we are acting. Bhagavad Gita presents some ideas, and we can check ourselves in which mode we usually or sometimes act. I know also that Krishna and Uddhava had a talk where I think Krishna or Uddhava said there are like seven or more elements, like what you chant, when you get up, and these kind of things. And sometimes we are in illusion, we think we are in higher modes than we really are. Can you give us some ideas how? Because it's sometimes, if somebody shows us a mirror, it can hurt us in somehow, our false ego, which thinks we are higher than we really are. How can we check ourselves that we see? And because I think it's important that we know where our starting position is, that we can then progress in the modes. So. Because sometimes we are deluded that we are higher than we
sometimes.
Really are. All the time.
No, we're trying to act spiritually, transcendentally. Therefore, especially Kirtani Yaksadahari, we're given an opportunity to always chant Hare Krishna and to always put the acharyas and their representatives in our heart and serve them, serve their instructions to the best of our capacity. So if we're doing that, then we're situated in transcendence, at least to some degree. Except for that, generally we're in ignorance and passion. Exactly what kind of ignorance we're in, what kind of passion, is probably not so important as to check ourselves and resume chanting and serving the previous acharyas and the representatives. That then we'll make progress. If you're drowning in an ocean, you don't really care, you know, you don't want to analyze what kind of water the ocean is in. You know, call for a scientist to please analyze the water I'm going to drown in. Is it, what's the percentage of salt in it? Now the best thing to do is to get some help and get out of the ocean. So that's what we're generally trying to do. Of course we can, when we're doing some activities, you said there's, in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says there's knowledge in the modes of modes, there's intelligence in the modes, there's food in the modes, there's sacrifice in the modes, there's charity in the modes. So we should know these things. It may seem simplistic, but then again, ultimately reality is quite simple too. And ultimately if we don't know, then it means we're in ignorance. Because if we're in ignorance, we know. So at least we can conclude we're in ignorance, and therefore we have to study the scriptures, whether it's the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we might know by analysis. So humbly studying, praying to Krishna as the super soul in the heart to give us intelligence, inquiring from others who may have more intelligence than we do, then we can know. Otherwise, how is it possible to know? Yes. Or actually, if we just chant Hare Krishna, then we'll also know. Just like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, some scholars came to visit him. And he said that, actually, I'm a little busy now. If you can just a little service, and I'll come and speak to you. I'll answer your questions. So he had the scholars visit the Pujari department, and they were cleaning the brass of the deities. And after some time, after cleaning the brass of the deities, they came back to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. They said, actually, all our questions were answered while we were cleaning the brass of the deities. So if we act transcendentally, then things will be clearer also. We perform pure devotional service. Yes?
Hare Krishna. I will try to speak my English. And you speak Lila in Brahma, Shiva and Lord Vishnu. I'm thinking how much Lord Shiva is very subtle, full subtle, understand any motive. Bhrigu Muni come, understand why come, why give illusion, like illusion. This Lila in no Lila.
Lord Shiva is what?
Lord Shiva is subtle, understand any motive, who come for him, understand why come, but what's like in like that.
Well, we can just, I don't know, you have to ask Lord Shiva, maybe he had a bad day. Who knows what happened, you know, he has to deal with so many difficulties in the universe, maybe that was just too much for him to deal with. I don't know, it doesn't explain. I mean, Lord Shiva's Vaishnava Yatha Sambhu, generally he's the greatest devotee, but Lord Shiva is a tattva also. There's the original Shiva in Shiva Loka, Maha Shiva, but there's also has expansions here, and sometimes he has different activities. So this is one example that's given, that Lord Shiva is not as transcendental as Lord Vishnu. So somehow or another it was given like that. But we respect Lord Brahma, certainly, and we respect Lord Shiva. Not Lord Shiva walks in and says, you're the guy who got agitated, wanted to kill your brother. And Lord Brahma comes in and says, yeah, boy, slight is agitated. We don't offer respect. And you become so agitated. Maybe you should chant some japa. No, they're great personalities. They're far beyond our capacity to understand. But for this particular lila, something is shown how exalted Lord Vishnu is. All right, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Ki Jai.